SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Here, let's see what they're saying. I mean, it's going to be gorgeous Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That 80, low 80s, not a, Today, mid-afternoon, 3 o'clock, we get another, you know, another band of showers. But for now, on the turf. It's a fun group early, even if the rain comes later. There's a New York bred, 2-year-old turf sprint. Those is the second start at the early pick four, and it's a tricky group. And there's also in fact, I reach out to Melanie Gidding, and there's a usual scenario in here. You may have heard, and I think I mentioned that AWC Stables and Al Gold. I saw Al on Monday, Paul Braverman. They're partnered up on a Motown colt that Melanie is trained for Leon, for Blue. Leon Blue is the five in this day, and Joelle riding. And Mel training. And of course, when people heard that there was a Blue namesake honoree, they kind of figured that Coach Parcells, you know, who was very good to Leon, that Coach had done it. But it turned out to be, you know, this ownership group with Mel training. And then strangely, just the way, and this is the confluences of race entry and the way things go, Parcells has got a horse in the race that's debuting. Pay the Juice, who looks okay with Shug. A Bloman bred Omaha Beach that is out of orbit. Pay the Juice 7-2 with Flavian Pratt, and that dam was a stake winner, and she was fast. She was fast as a, you know, as a sprinter. So there's some speed there, and the Omaha Beaches, if you haven't noticed over the, you know, the last year and a half, the Omaha Beaches, and of course this, he's got two crops. And they're hitting at 19% debut, a strong number. And, you know, we're all gaga over, you know, Vekoma and so forth. But remember the other young sires that, that are out there. So Pay the Juice and Steady Works, including a gate blowout a week ago today, 48-1. So we talked to Mike yesterday, Mike Welsh, with the DRF Clocker Report, and we kind of focused on the 3-year-olds principally for conversation sake. But I brought up with him and with Andy about, you know, I've been very confounded by the 2-year-olds so far. So this is a challenging group. There's a horse that started. There's a couple of horses coming back for second or third starts. Out on bail, out of a mare named Judge Lee. What a funny. So you got the name. This was fairly straightforward naming. Out on bail. 4-1, and moving to the grass in with a bullet and out on bail looks, you know, like a major player here. There's Sky Masterson. And, you know, I saw Joe Grant the other day. I mentioned that we saw Joe. And this is a horse that we got all kinds of recognizable ties to. Contessa is training. But Joe Joya, who, of course, I met Joe, you know, through Del Carroll and through the Pond Street people. And Joe wasn't part of Pond Street, but he had horses with Del. So, you know, there was always a you know, interaction and convivial group. And of course, Joe Joy has got the greatest the greatest stable name in racing. Very unstable. And this is Kitty Madness, who is the dam. And I got to be around Kitty Madness. Also, my favorite of Joe's was Twinkie Zone. Twinkie Zone was probably, I would guess, Twinkie Zone. Well, and Malcolm Sonis's junior in memoriam was his race name. The first, you know, when I first was living, when I first got up here and you know, could be around the track all the time. But Twinkie Zone was one that we just loved. So Skyman, obviously, you know, Guys and Dolls related naming. Pretty decent effort in the turf debut, the second career start, and went six, which, you know, counts for plenty. So Sky, but I didn't 12-1 too. You got a advantageous number. Rudy's got a horse that started Classic Ruby, a Classic Empire. Iron Max looks live because, you know, Jeremiah Englehart is so. And hitting at 28 cents with a nice ROI, $2.62, 6-1 with Manny. The horse I actually picked was Army Proud, Sharp, who's okay. He doesn't have garish first out stats, but he can win. And that was that JC Shooting Star, the dam, she was okay, and she was a stake horse and a turf runner. So I thought, and the works are, you know, the works, they don't scream, but there was a good gate work at Kalen at the end of June. 6-1 appealed. I thought this was a very tricky race, and you know, then there's Mel with Lee. Leon Blue, who's a Motown, out of a Shackleford mare, bred by, and there's Shug Parcells with Aug Dawn, the yellow jacket with the green belt. So, second race today, the first turf race, and Lee won't be, you know, doesn't look to be a, you know, this has like the concern about weather showing up mid afternoon and, you know, affecting the late action. You got two terrific, New York bred long on the turf opportunities. The nightcap is a maiden 40, and it's just complete. The race focused in on for the DePaula play, and there literally were four horses I could have seen making the DePaula play, but I ended up siding with Donk, who is off to a little bit of a slow start. He's 0-10, but he's got three board hits, and I'm not worried about David Donk winning races. 6-1, Snowy Evening. And gets reunited with Jose Ortiz, who's won with him. In fact, won with him two or three times. And so Snowy Evening, she comes back in this spot. Chad's got over acting 7-2. who's okay, spinning for Henning, for Kimmel, 5-1. This is a fun race. It's a very fun race. The sixth mile and a 16th on the widener, or the Mellon, excuse me. And I, you know, 6-1 I appealed, and I think we'll get every bit of 6-1 on snowy evening. The 9 in the 6. So I to be honest, I've got I'm going to have to finish the I've got the early races done, except for the, I thought the third was impossible. Third is impossible. It's a state bred to filly and mare allowance going a mile on the Wilson. And it's ridiculous. Duck Fat, Echo in Eternity, Scarlet Stream, Chasing Daylight, who's 9-5, but doesn't, I don't think has to win. And then Mel Giddings. That's one of the reasons I reached out to Mel. Mel's baby sister for Coach. So Parcells looking for a double here. If you want to bet the Parcells double, it would be six. Excuse me. It would be, where's the baby race? There it is. It would be 7-6. 7-6 would be the Parcells second and third race double. Who was 76 on the Giants? You know, going back. Let's see. the New York Football Giants. You know, it's funny, as much as all the different teams that you know that he ended up coaching, Bill, it's just hard to you know, only can associate him really with the Giants. Nobody, well, I guess Chris Snee. Yeah, nobody prominent. Yeah, that's one of the funny, you ever do that? There's all those stat, you know, NFL sites, you know, where you they'll have a list of every player that has worn the specific numbers. I didn't find it right away, but it popped in my head. So 7-6. If you want to bet Big Pretty's, are you familiar with that reference, Big Pretty? Coach Henning, Dan Henning, tells the greatest Parcells story ever. From when they were, from when they were coaching together, they were in college, and they were down at. I should get Henning to tell this story. This is not going to make Coach happy, I don't think, if I tell this. I don't take these liberties too often. They were coaching. I want to say, was it at Army? Could it have been Army? They were down in Fort Lauderdale, and they were staying at the other Sheridan, the old Sheridan, the Yankee Clipper. They were staying at the Yankee Clipper, and the coaches were all going to go out for dinner. And they were all young coaches. It was early in their coaching career. And Parcells was, I don't know, the lineman coach or the tight end coach, whatever he was at the time. But he was just starting. And they're all waiting in the lobby, and Coach comes down apparently in like an outfit none of them would have expected, you know, with like this patterned shirt and like bell bottom pants and white patent leather type boots, and that elicited the nickname the Big Pretty. And I wanted to name the horse the Big Pretty for that reason, and I haven't done it. So something tells me later this week when I see Parcells, I'm if some of you you know that he's not crazy about the other nickname that involves Big, but maybe Big Pretty he might get a kick out of. Mel Giddings is going to join us. I'm sorry about this. I don't know what inspired me. I guess because of the two horses that are running. And also because, frankly, things were so goofy yesterday. It kind of put me sideways a little bit. I started to say all of this. I was also waiting for turf decisions just in case they got more rain in Saratoga than we got here. We're 13 miles east. So, I'm just negotiating with Melanie. Okay. And she's all right with it. So we'll get Melanie Giddings, right now. And, I haven't seen her yet actually on track, but, it's a pleasure to, especially on a day like today, to have Melanie Giddings join us. Mel, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
I thought of this the other day when, you know, they're drawing out so early these cards, and saw the first thing I saw that was unusual was, you know, the horse that that has been named for Blue, Leon Blue, and everybody made the assumption that Coach was, you know, was behind this horse, and you explained to people online that it was a different group, Al Gold and Paul Braverman and AWC. But then you enter for the debut, and Coach has got a horse in with Shug.
yes, absolutely.
Too funny. And then, of course, you guys combine half hour later with Mel's sister. Let's talk, though, before we talk about these horses, let's catch up. And, you know, obviously, you know, we talked after last summer, and, you know, so many emotions got to be tied to, you know, the season and coming up and, you know, and running. You know, talk about, you know, everything that's happened since last summer.
You know, it's been tough. It's, you know, a summer that, you know, I'll never forget, but a lot that Philly had done for me is, you know, has kind of just shown the support that I've had from, you know, being in Saratoga with 20 horses, and, you know, I got 50, you know, I'll never get another one like her, but just hoping to have a good summer.
Well, the season overall, you know, coming into the summer, you've had a solid year, and obviously you've got some babies. And in fact, you know, it was certainly notable, you know, last summer that, you know, you went right out, you and Coach went, you know, right over to the sale, you know, in shadow of, you know, the difficulty and the sadness,
right.
And you went right out and bought horses, and you know, that's part of, you know, in this and being stoic and down forward.
Right. And, you know, I mean, us as horsemen and women, we know it's not good for the mind to just sit around. As hard and as sad as it was, there was a lot of support from the sales for me, and you know, I think work is always the best way to kind of try to get through something.
And the work has gone fine. You've saddled three so far, and that maiden the other day ran well. Elamaya.
Yeah, you know, I was pretty pumped about that day. I was, you know, I was hoping realistically she would hit the board, just not having her and it being Saratoga. But I really, really think I had a possibility to win two races that day.
Well, and you know, it was live as can be. And really, yeah. It kind of showed up a little late on the scene. And all right.
Yeah, he's a nice horse, you know. He think, just improve with age and experience. Mentally, he's still learning quite a bit, and I think it was a really good buy on Cherie's part to buy that horse for $4,000.
Well, and did I see? I thought I saw him back in the entries, but maybe not.
No, he's not back in the entries yet, but he will have a race coming up here soon. Yeah. He's training well.
Well, in the meantime, let's also see who else, beside Leon Blue. Let's talk Leon Blue and some other two-year-olds. And here's a Motown, 100,000. How did this ownership come together, this group?
A couple of those owners, I've known for some years, and I never asked them, but I guess they really wanted to have a horse with me and kind of support me. So we all got together, and, Chad Summers and I kind of worked the sale a little bit, and this is the horse that we came up with for the partnership.
Very nice. And who was behind honoring Blue with the name?
Well, it's interesting. I'm not sure who was behind it entirely, but he did have another name originally. And when Blue passed away, I think they thought it would be really fitting to give this horse a name after him.
Oh, that's nice. All right. I'll ask. I saw Al on Monday, but I did not.
I might have to put $2 on him for Blue.
Exactly. Well, Blue would have put Blue would have unrolled the watch.
He would have, in coach's words, he would have said the paperboy bets $2,000.
Oh, perfect. That's fantastic. That's
yeah.
Well, a couple of bullets that June 27th gate work that showed promise sub 48. Joelle sees fit to ride, as they say. What do you think?
Right. I thought, granted, I just gave him an easy work outside the dogs on the turf the day I tried him. But I do think he moved quite well over the turf, which was why I put him up there. But, he's been working well on the dirt as well. That nice gate work was with Elamaya, and he really dug in there working with her. And we'd since put the blinkers on, which had made a difference as well. He's a horse that kind of thrives on work. So, that's something really enjoyable. I think horses really enjoy what they're doing when they like that stuff.
What kind, if he's that kind of a horse, sometimes, size-wise, to keep weight on, is he robust? Is he trim?
He's a very well put together horse. He's always kind of come in just looking fantastic. He's never been baby fat or, big heavy horse. He's quite athletic, and he just springs off the ground. We've been really lucky with him. They did a great job getting him ready to come in here, and he's just trucked along forward since.
Who
He was with Susan Montaigne in Ocala.
Nice.
Yeah.
We like showcasing those that get these horses started. They don't get enough get enough attention.
They do all the real hard stuff.
Yeah.
Before they get here, and then we're just lucky, that they're mentally prepared to just keep going forward.
Well, Leon Blue today 10-1, and Motown, who's solid enough as a debut sire and gets all kinds, gets middle distance, gets turf, gets dirt, and then you can win with a firster.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Exactly.
I've prepared plenty for others, so
exactly.
I'm hoping, it can happen for me.
Well, and then a half hour later, let's talk about Mel's baby sister. And
yeah.
I told everybody that if they want to bet the August Dawn, the Parcells double, it's 7-6. So Mel's baby sister comes back third off the layoff, and layoff after the maiden win. At Aqueduct, she's caught wet tracks, and
Yeah, every time.
Right? And I think we'll be okay. I think we should be okay at 2 o'clock. They're not talking the next band of rain until a little later in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
That's what they say.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it's hard to really get a grasp on what the weather's going to do here. It's looked like it could rain any minute all morning.
Yeah.
But yeah, sure enough, if you were to enter her, it's going to rain. So
her last three starts.
She doesn't seem to mind it, so we'll go with it.
Well, and the opportunity to stretch out and run
right
out of the Wilson Shoe. This is her first time going. I think it's her first time going a mile, right? Yeah,
it is. Yeah, we've always thought, like, before we even ran her the first time, that, you know, going six furlongs and six and a half and stuff would be hard for her because she's such a big filly, and you know, she's just physically always looked like distance would be her friend. So I think she's done really well for us, you know, trying to be outside her comfort zone a little bit, doing those sprint races. And I'm hoping that today she can just be comfortable and find her stride, because she is such a big horse.
Well, and the interesting part is the Wilson Shoot, and you know, the little bit of a tricky negotiation into the turn, you know, coming out of the chute. The six hole's a good spot, though, and she, you know, she likes to be at least, you know, in the vanguard behind the pace setters.
Yeah, I mean, she might try to show a little bit of speed coming out of there just from sprinting her whole life so far. You know, I'm just going to tell Dylan to kind of, you know, don't hustle her out and just let her kind of do her thing comfortably and see where she puts herself, and just hopefully she can just ease around there at her own speed.
Well, seems to be, you know, right in the midst of this. It kind of feels like, I don't know, I had trouble with this race, to be honest, Mel. I mean, Chasing Daylight's the favorite, but...
Oh, absolutely.
She doesn't have to win by any means. And, you know, a forward move. Malu comes back on short rest from Linda. You know, there's other candidates that you're six to one, I think, right?
Yeah.
I thought this was very tough. I actually.
Yeah, she's always been a grinder, you know, and I feel like this is going to give her the opportunity to not have to use herself so much early in a race.
Mel's baby sister, second and third for Mel. And then actually, you're in that nightcap as well, which is, I thought, a complete scramble.
Yeah, you know, when I got this filly...
Lucky and Gorgeous.
Yeah, I was really excited to kind of get her on the grass. I know it was obviously a thing that her previous trainer was trying to do as well. And, you know, they wanted us to kind of take our time since we had had her. But we all know how hard it is to get grass horses to run anymore with the rain. But we were fortunate enough to run her at Aqueduct there, and she ran a really good second.
She's actually, obviously one of the horses to beat. I took this one off of Patty Reynolds, and Lucky and Gorgeous. Looking at Lucky out of a Freud mare, so there's plenty. I shouldn't say you took it off of Patty. It was moved to you by Charlie. Since we're doing this, let's talk about the rest of the week and going into Thursday. Let me turn to Thursday. I've got. I don't know if I'm crazy about these advanced draws or not, because they end up. I've got days of PPs in Saratoga that's staring me in the face.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, if it doesn't scramble your mind, it is already.
And you're in an interesting position going into tomorrow. Here's another of these New York bred turf sprints. You've got Sudi entered as MTO, and it does fight. In fact, when I talked to Andy yesterday, we're kind of thinking that tomorrow would be the more treacherous day in terms of races staying on the grass. But if it does stay on, you've got a cue.
Right. And a part of is sort of kicking myself with entries at the moment. Just, you know, I never expected with Speed and Beauty was entered MTO, but the following day was entries for the dirt race for her. So she's actually the body of the race on Friday. So she won't be allowed to run main track only. That race on Friday kind of came up a war looking for New York bred fillies, but we're going to give it a try.
Look at that. Yeah, you
got a couple of $360,000 New York breds in there, I think. And, you know, she's a, both of them, Musical Q and Speed and Beauty, were their first homebreds, actually, for Sal. And they're really excited.
Well, and they've been, wow, look at this. Jesus, you got, this is quite,
I mean, if we could all predict the future, it would have been,
ideally then stay on the grass tomorrow and you run Musical Q,
right.
And you don't have to, you know, you don't have to wonder about it.
Right.
Here's we've been wondering where Steve Asmussen when he would start to send them, and lo and behold, here's a Kaleem Shah purchase, a Matoli, out of a Tisnow mare that Joe McMahon and Jeff Gard bred, that's in this race accelerating, and Kimmel's got an Improbable, Chad's got one that. That Oxo Larry Best bought, supporting his own stallion, Instagram. Irish Hill bred this one for, it was a $200,000 purchase. McPeak for Walking L. You're right. That I have not handicapped Friday.
But that's going to be a tough one.
Yikes. how about Musical Q, though?
Musical Q is doing well. I think she'll really love the grass, and I was hoping for her we could stay on and, you know, give her a chance to run. She's a tough filly, you know. She's survived a lot just being born early and going through complications, and she's very confident in herself. I'm looking forward to running her.
Nice. You've also got a merch that goes on Friday, the Seville, for this one.
Yeah, for her, a lot of it was more mental thing. You know, she's got a body, but mentally, we've just been working at trying to get her to harness that, you know, in the
they really don't encounter it.
Right. And she may be a horse who flourishes better as she gets older.
Well, really swinging in this, the Hiddings joining us with two in the second and third, Leon Blue, the Leon Blueschewitz namesake, and then Mel's baby sister in the third for Coach, and give us a quick barn tour. Who are we going to see as the meet unfolds? Some of the other babies.
Babies here, actually, we're preloaded. We really, you know, tried to purchase a lot for health. You know, there were horses that we were really looking for. Homebreds for Old Tavern as well. I'm looking forward to a colt for myself, and sold pieces of his mother, sold for $310 yesterday, Right Prevail. The Catalina Cruiser Colt, who's Sybil in the New York Derby, and he's doing well. And
what's his name? You know,
we haven't named him yet. The partners kind of came up with a couple names, and they were getting excited. And I said, why don't we wait just a little bit until you decide?
So what's the? Yeah. Give us the mayor's name again.
Wright Prevails. Yep. Yeah, she sold in the digital yesterday for quite a bit of money.
Nice.
We have a nice 2-year-old, for Flying P that we bought at Timonium. And yeah, it's they're all kind of going along good here. The track has been good for them here and the atmosphere. And, you know, we're looking forward to running these babies.
Well, Mal, always rooting for and. And you seem well positioned, and good luck today. Get lucky. Obviously, you've got a terrific roster of owners and bright futures.
Thank you. Yes, I've been very fortunate.
Melanie Giddings, and you might see her in the Winner's Circle twice today. So. Thanks,
yeah,
Mal.
That'd be nice.
Right?
I'm asking for a lot.
No. It's, you never know. You just you lead them over and you leg up your jock, and then it's up to them.
Yep.
I appreciate it. Thanks, everybody. And obviously, she's in nice shape. And what a... you know, what a difficult, you want to talk about a difficulty and, having to persevere, under, the most, really, I think I called it soul shattering at the time, Maple Leaf Mel, but she's got two barnfuls here and down at Belmont. And that mare that she just mentioned, I just pulled up on APR, American Produce Records, which if you don't use, you should. The Brisnet product that gives you quick access to all the mares and their produce and their race record. And as she mentioned, Barese, that Leoban, won the New York Derby, you might remember. And she's actually had two after Barese that have not made it to the track. And here's the Catalina Cruiser, 2-year-old, that is unnamed. It's a chestnut. So if you want to look on the work, when you're looking on the work tab, you'll see the name of the dam. There's a good little quick aside as we reach for Dick Powell. You'll see the dam's name. In this case, it's Wright, as in right hand. Wright Prevails. And you'll see her name with 22. And that'll mean the foal out of her from 2022. And in this case, it's the unnamed colt that she's excited about. All right? That's how it works when they're unnamed. And it does drive, it does drive the clockers crazy. And those that watch carefully watch the works. But that was productive. She's got a big week here. Dick Powell is going to join us. And I did flirt with the idea of heading over to the track this morning, but I was already kind of out of whack from what transpired overnight yesterday. Dick, good morning.
Steve, little travel problems.
That which is unusual. I cannot recall having been turned away and having to, you know, return home and never, you know, never even getting out. I can't think of that ever happening.
When I went to the last event we had down in Hot Springs, I flew Albany to Chicago, the plane backed away from the gate on time, and then he went right back to the gate. 2 hours later, we took off, missed my connection, 10-hour layover in Chicago.
Oof.
to get to Little Rock and hopefully get a rental car before they close.
Yeah.
To drive to Hot Springs.
Yeah.
So that was
and it, you know, it's funny. I mean, in Albany's certainly, you know, it's not significant. It's not an insignificant, you know, place to depart or travel. But for whatever reason, and I just use Southwest out of habit and ease, familiarity, and flexibility, frankly. There's a couple of places. I mean, Hot Springs you talk about. I never fly to Little Rock anymore. I go to Memphis. I come in and out of Memphis, and I make that drive. So now I couldn't get to Des Moines from Albany conveniently because Southwest schedule didn't accommodate really. I said, well, all right, I'll go to Omaha and I'll make the drive east. I 2 hours. It's nothing, and I had the same exact scenario with you're talking about with the rental. And I even went so far as to call Avis. That's another thing. I couldn't use Hertz because they didn't have cars. They were out of cars. And so we try harder. I went to Avis and, who I rarely use. And they asked for my wizard number. I haven't used the wizard number since about 1987. And, but I have the card. I do. I have here it is. I've got all my, travel cards from over the years. But I called and they said, we'll be open till 1. And I thought, all right, I got about a good 45 to 90 minute range that it looked like, but then that evaporated and we wouldn't have gotten there till at least 1:30. I said, that's it. Forget it. I give up.
Right. Yeah.
Packed it in.
Yeah. That was the right thing to do.
I think so. I think it was. Well, certainly one person who I talked to on the way home thought it was the right thing to do. That would be Andy. who thought I was insane? Who thinks I'm crazy when I go to Monmouth, let alone to Prairie Meadows? makes me laugh. Anyway, Dick, we will catch up in person next week, Whitney week. But let's. I'll throw it to you. How was your week, and how are you hitting them?
Week was good. We're all cleaned up here. The tree company came in.
Nice.
Packed this gigantic truck up to the driveway. Couldn't go around the house, so we had this big boom with the guy in the cab, and up and over, and they picked the tree up. And once they got everything done, there was a hole in the roof in the sunroom.
Wow.
So luckily we got a hold of the guy who built the sunroom, who lives nearby, but doesn't work that much anymore. So John came over Saturday morning.
Repaired.
Fixed it all up. And I learned a lot dealing with insurance companies. They don't really want to do a lot of work. You gotta download the app. You gotta upload pictures. You have to do their job and then maybe you get something out of it.
That's true. That's true.
I remember reading something years ago about the business of insurance is collecting claims, not paying premiums.
Huh.
And that is true. So we're all done. I was able to watch the Jersey races Saturday. And just, I came out of the Haskell with a real negative on IRED. Just why, when he gets to the top of the stretch, and I know he's out there, he's four wide, he's losing ground, but the horse looks like he's running well. And then when they straighten out, he goes farther out.
Yeah.
And if he's four pants off the rail, now he's six pants off the rail. With the guy he has to be, Donak, down on the rail, way far away from him. And that's always a weird dynamic because horses are competitive. They'll run hard and next to each other. So by the time he kind of get over there, he, according to the chart, he had a half-length lead in the stretch. But then Louis was just working on Dornach, and Dornach's not going to give up. And I don't know what the paragraph gave Mindframe. I mean, if Dornach ran a zero, Mindframe had to be minus 1.5. I mean, he lost a lot of ground and all that. So technically, he runs the better race. But is this something that, until they put blinkers on him or do something like that, is or his race is going to be like this?
I talked to Mig on Monday, and we talked about, you know, his shying from the whip, and left or right-handed. He doesn't have a preference for not being comfortable, when asked. And I only made the point that you know, when pundits and when we evaluate and handicap these races, and when people, you know, bring up the experience factors, this is what we're talking about. Even at this point, he's lightly raced, and it costs you especially against a plucky horse like Dornach, who's been proven, you know, from early on that he is quite comfortable being confronted and answering confrontations.
Yeah. And I don't think enough is made about Good Magic as well as he has done. I think he's really done better. I think he was kind of underrated as a horse. He won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile as a maiden.
Yep.
He was right there with Justify. Just happened to run into the year Justify comes along in. Did everything right. And now goes to stud. Not the, you know, precocious 7 furlong type. And he's getting major runner after major runner. It's really fun to see because he's added on to, you know, all those sire lines that are getting those kind of horses. He's the youngest of those horses or sires. So it's fun to see him. Danny did everything right. Louis, my man, I love Louis. I love Louis at 34-10 as opposed to the other guy at 8-10, so I'll take 34-10 when I can get it.
We laughed. Andy and I laughed about horses not getting respect, which is such a, you know. Andy mentioned, you know, his exchange with Randy Hill, and it made me laugh. But he. You know, in the Belmont and now again, from a value standpoint, and I think that we'll see. But you know, it's funny. You look at that Travers Field, and obviously we got the Jim Dandy to run Saturday. But those, depending on the outcomes, I mean, if Sierra Leone were to win, really, if any of the principals step out and win well, they'll probably go favored in the Travers, and he you know, there's potential for him to be third choice in the Travers.
Oh, easily,
right?
Yeah,
it's kind of funny. I can't.
Hopefully we get through this weekend. All the 3-year-olds stay healthy and sound, and we can get 8, 9, 10 of them in the Travers. Have a real grade 1 mile on the quarter finish to the meet, and then on from there.
Well, it could be more like 10, 11, 12 in the gate based on what, you know, on the potential, what we've got tracking here. So it is going to be fun. It was unusual in the wake of the Haskell. I immediately put out a quick tweet about, I mean, look at this potential Travers that we've got. And I left a few horses off, and I keep adding to it. And that's not typical for me. I usually kind of, only get excited, you know, in proximity to the event and when it's more concrete. But I right away, I was like, holy cow, this is going to be potentially spectacular.
Yeah, I think I definitely think it's going to be.
Well, and then you've got and it was funny to be down at Monmouth. I don't know if you heard any of the show last week, but it was funny to be at Monmouth and end up, to some degree, being as excited or more for the sprint, for the stake on Friday in the Jersey Shore with the emergence of the Hollycrest, not the Hollycrest horse, but Eddie Owens's horse, Little Knee, and the return of Bookham Dano, who's getting ready. And so the two of them are going to show up with a pair of 101 buyers in tow. And yeah, then I talked to Baffert on Monday, and Prince of Monaco is on target for the Jerkins. I know that Lee Einsiedler would love to run Reynolds Channel off that elusive maiden win the other day. He and Mott are going to track his progress to run potentially. There's a lot of things that it always makes me smile to some degree when the horses that in the first half of the year, everybody's, you know, we're like waiting for stars to, you know, make themselves, and everybody's uncertain about the quality of a crop, and it's so unfair because they're still growing, they're still changing, they're not going to be mature until they're five. So, you know, the second half of the year, the 3 year olds in particular, where's your Torpedo Anna meter?
Hard to tell. I don't have a strong opinion on her either way. I think she's wonderful beating who she's beating. She can keep beating who she's beating and then maybe find some older horses in the fall before the Breeders' Cup. Ken's game, you know, Ken's the guy who'll go in a Travis with her. And if he does, she fits. I don't know if she's really good enough at that distance. I'm looking at Chad running a big race with Sierra Leone. I think things are going to get back on track for him and circumstances favoring him and stuff like that. So I think he's going to be super tough to beat. But yeah, she's right up there. I reserve the right to hold my judgment until races are drawn and see how the shape looks.
We will monitor. Talk to Kenny yesterday, for those of you that didn't get a chance to listen, catch him on the archive. Yeah, it's funny. Did I talk to Andy off the air, I think? I tell you who I talked to. Really fun, upbeat conversation as I was sitting in the airport with Chuck, Chuck Simon, and Chuck is feeling good. He's sounds good. He's getting strength back, and of course he had another little surgery procedure on Monday. But Chuck and I were talking, and I won't take away from his you know thoughts. He may actually write a piece on this for Going in Circles. And Chuck said he thought it would be a mistake to run her against the boys. That and even Kenny has had an experience on this. You know, we say, oh well, Kenny ran, oh, he ran a Swiss Skydiver. Well, and what happened subsequently? You know, long term. You know, and frankly, if she doesn't win. I mean, she could run a nice race and be third in that field potentially, and then what? I mean, right now, if you I don't want to say play out the string, but you know, you run in the Alabama, maybe the Spinster, which would be a McPeak kind of a avenue, and then the Distaff. You know, she's a leading horse of the year contender.
Yes.
I mean, she gets beat in the Travers, and that's gonna go away, that status, that potential. So I don't know. The public clamors for it. They think it's fascinating that's a great test of, well, okay. And yes, it would make the Alabama probably better if she didn't run in the Alabama. It'd be easier to round horses up for it. But I don't know.
But I think the media clamors for it. I think it's an easy narrative to write. And I think they're the ones that try to.
The fan graphs do too. The Twitterverse and there's a lot of hoo-ha for it. And honestly, we've been treated, you know, by the way, prospective authors. How about that, Dick? How about that for a book idea? How about that? That's a great history of how about the 21st century, you know, fillies and mares against the boys, rags to riches and Rachel and Zenyatta, and you could do a whole. That'd be great.
And I had rags to riches on my Hall of Fame ballot.
Nice.
I thought those four races she put together were just unreal, and beats Curlin in the Belmont. It wasn't like the Belmont was the third leg and it kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
She stumbles at the gate and still was able to beat Curlin after winning the Kentucky Oaks by a pole and San Anito, La Verhaenas. She had that stretch and out, and that back then maybe it wasn't that big a deal, but now what are we looking at? We're looking at all these prominent current horses with 5-6 big starts, you know, not much more. And that's what's memorable. Here's my question. I don't have anything in front of me. Is Havre de Grace in the Hall of Fame?
No. No.
But she beat Boys at Saratoga.
I hate to be, yeah, I don't want to.
I know, but
denigrate, but I
in and of itself, it's kind of just another race, and is now once I'm showing my ignorance, I just became a Hall of Fame voter this year, and I've gone through all sorts of stuff, but is beholder in the Hall of Fame.
She's going in.
Okay. But she won, you know, her winning Super Classic just out of this world. So you see that. But it doesn't always have the meaning long term. It's nice, but if I own Torpedo, I don't know. Me personally, I think the Alabama is one of the five great races in America. It absolutely kills me when they run some foreign turf race at Saratoga with foreign horses for a bigger purse. Absolutely kills me. Saratoga Derby for $1 million, and the Alabama was $600,000.
It's not. I don't want to call it an anachronism as a race, but it hasn't drawn big fields. I mean, the winners are, you know, you got wonderful winners of it historically, and in fact. Here you go. Here you go. Going backwards. Randomized, the Nest, Malifat, Swiss Skydiver, Dunbar Road. Eskimo Kisses, Kenny. I forgot about it. Kenny's won it. Holy cow. Kenny's won it twice in 3 years. I forgot about Eskimo Kisses. Songbird, Embellish the Lace, I liked Embellish the Lace that day as a pace play. Stop Charging Maria. Princesses Silmar for King of Prussia, the unbelievable questing. There's a whole story about Winslow's that people may remember. Questing, Royal Delta, Blind Luck, Careless Jewel. We talked yesterday to Josie Carroll. Proud Spell, who was one of my absolute favorites. Lady Joanne of Carl Nasker. Pine Island, the ill-fated Pine Island for Shuggy. And Sweet Symphony. I forgot about that was a Steinbrenner horse, Sweet Symphony. Society Selection for Irv Cowan. Loved her. I got a picture of her inside there. You remember who rode Society Selection?
I'm sure it's one of the obscure riders.
It's slightly. He wouldn't have been obscure. You know, at the time he was the who could I? He was sort of the junior Alberato of the jocks room at the time. I think that's a fair Cornelio Velasquez. Ooh. How about that? Island Fashion, who we loved, Jeff Nielsen's Island Fashion. Farda Amiga, you remember when Paula Lobo, what a trooper she was. Oh, my goodness. Loved Farda Amiga.
And that was some celebration. with the Brazilian ownership celebrating in the ring, and that was a lot of fun.
Paulo Lobo, he was a fun guest and a fabulous horseman. He had the strangest, what a strange career arc when it comes to North America, right? He burst on the scene.
Back-to-back runnings of the Met Mile.
and then is like lost in the wilderness for 6 or 8 years, and now is back with a vengeance. I love it. How about Flute in 2001? Jostle, who was one of John Service's first big horses for Rick Porter. Silver Bullet Day, so good at the Spa that they put her on a plate. Who has, raise your hand if you've got the giveaway plate, the Silver Bullet Day plate.
Oh, I have it right here.
Right?
Yeah.
The greatest. And she was on a Stein. They put her on a Stein, too.
I don't have the Stein. I have the plate.
She was on a Stein, I think, as well, if I'm not mistaken. Banshee Breeze, the one for Taffel. Oh, my God, what a great list. Unbelievable. Run Up the Colors, Yanks Music. Pretty Discreet for the Rob Shams and Billy Terrell. How about that?
Well, Yanks Music was the Johnny Velasquez fist pump. Johnny won the race, and he was pumping his fist back and forth. He was really excited. That was one of his real early major stakes wins. And then farther back, you have Sky Beauty and her mother, Mabel Jensky.
Yep. Absolutely. Mom's Command, Ned Allard for Peter Fuller with Abby. Unbelievable. One. Here's a name I do not. You mentioned Mabel Jensky, and of course, the next year, Open Mind. You got to keep an open mind, Gene Klein. Go for Juan, and one of my favorite days here at the racetrack. I tell that story all the time. My first IRS ticket came earlier in that on an exacta that day. Up the Appalachie. Up the Appalachie with George Velasquez rode for George Arsenault. And I do not, that one, I'm drawing a blank.
I want to say Midwest Shipper, but don't know much more.
Could be. I do not know that name. That one in 1987. And I was coming here pretty regularly by then. I do not remember that. And the Alabama was always a race that we loved. And then the toughest, for my man, for Siaka, the toughest Alabama, November snow. Oh, nailing Saratoga Dew on the wire.
Led every step.
Unbelievable. Gary will tell you, it's the toughest beat ever. Even everything that she accomplished. including being the first champion. That had to be murder.
Hey, one thing though, when I wrapped up Hong Kong last week, yeah. I think I forgot to mention that the closing Wednesday and the closing Sunday at Sha Tin, that 20 races, all handicaps, no stake races, over 12 horses per race, blah, blah, blah. $405 million U.S. bet on the 2 days. So you take Derby Oaks, you take 2 days of Breeders' Cup, and we're doing $405 million U.S. dollars on 20 handicap races.
Amazing.
I mean, every once in a while, it just like really floors you. Like, you know, you look, you kind of get used to it, and then it's like, wait a minute, that's I got to look at that again.
It's amazing.
Yeah. By the way, it won't be long. And I did have a nice call with Alan and Ben the other night.
Oh, good. Hong Kong. Good.
Do some prep work for the upcoming season. Yeah.
Well, a quick note, and the name Arsenault should have given it away. Frank McGoey reports Louisiana, George Arsenault, Louisiana, that's the backstory of up the Appalachie. Thanks, Frank. Hopefully he's coming up this summer. You mentioned the. The HK. Let's get a quick Presque Isle update in.
Well, the rider standing has actually spread out a little bit more with Antonio Gallardo winning at 30%. Now he doesn't ride there. We haven't been riding on Thursday, so that has not been a problem for him. It will be later in the meet. So he runs the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at Presque, and then he goes to Colonial Downs for the rest of the week. But with only 126 mounts, he already has 35 winners, where Pablo Morales, who is off to a slow start by his standard, not by anybody else's standard, was kind of slower than normal. He has 30, and his win percentage is only 18%. So Antonio is 30%, Pablo is 18%, Robert Alencar continues to ride just spectacularly, 26% win percentage for him. And as I said last week, he was a 7% rider last year. And where the money's being made is Martina Ross is at 16%. She's right. She doesn't have the bug anymore, but she's riding tremendously. Along the trainers, Tim Gurton has 17 wins. Kevin Rice has 15, but Kevin has 17 seconds and 12 thirds. So out of 73 mounts, Kevin has 44 in the top three. So his horses are running great. John Fennessy, 15 winners. Rudy Davis, 14 winners. Ron Potts, 13. One name that kind of sticks out when you go a little bit farther down, Riley Mott, 9 starters. 6 winners.
Yep. Yeah. No, he's been deadly.
He is shipping in live horses, well spotted, and 6 out of 9. That's just amazing. So Riley is killing it as he moves his career up and looking for spots to race in and win in, and he's finding them over at Press. Got a couple of plays today. Let me see what I did with today. And I got a couple Saratoga plays.
Okay.
Presque Isle today is Wednesday, race number 2. I like the 1. My piles have taken on a life of their own. Can't find Wednesday. I got Wednesday, Saratoga. So here's Wednesday, Presque Isle. So race 2, I like the 1. Kevin Rice probably won't have rear shoes on. Won his last start against his class level. Didn't get claimed. Comes right back in against the same group. And we see this at Prescott, and they come back 2-3 weeks after the race. So they don't lose any form off a good race. So the chances are, with the consistency, three winners from 31 miles, but he's getting 7 pounds. And between him and Brooke Bay, they're doing well, not necessarily in the win column, but they're bringing horses into the money at decent odds. This one's going to be the favorite drawing the rail. So race two, number one, Pandemic Hero, and then move on to race six, which is mile 16th on the turf. And I like the run again, Burnt Again from Dominic Schettino. Last two starts were on dirt, and the run he ran real well. He didn't run well on the slot last time out. But his prior turf record, including at Saratoga, he has a lot of nice runs. And now here's the angle, Steve. When we run turf sprints, we take up the Mellon turf course. So we're lucky to get 1 2-turn Mellon turf race a day. So I used to like to have, you know, compare horse coming off the inner, now going on the Mellon. Maybe on the inner, he's a closer. On the Mellon, maybe that style it's going to work a little bit better. And this one draws the rail, so he'll save ground first turn. I noticed just visually, the bed of grass is on the outside, and today's rail is at 27 feet. So I think being outside, I'm assuming he's going to break well. Not break well, but save ground first turn, inside out of trip, lose all the ground you need just to be clear on the second turn. I think the better footing will be out there as well. So Luis Ayers rides this one for Dominic Schettino, race six, number one, Burnt Again.
All right. I didn't know what to do about Pandemic Hero, I'll tell you that. I found that group pretty confounding, to be honest.
Yes. That's kind of why I wound up where I was, because there wasn't any easy type, you know, this guy, this trainer, that jock. Okay. I don't know if this was an extra race. I'd have to look at the book. You know, it just kind of came together, but they did get 10, so they get 10 three-year-olds. But naturally, everyone wants to run on the grass. Everyone thinks they have a turf horse. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't.
Well, and it's funny, you can't, as early as they're making these draws, you can't really play the, I'm going to enter this with an expectation that the weather, you know, that we might end up coming off, you know, when it's tighter, when the draws are tighter and people know, and also the racing office. I mean, if the racing office has a better inclination, you know, that we're going to get 36 hours of rain, they'll card less turf. But that's sort of the one drawback of these week out, you know, 6 day out, 5 day out draws.
Yeah, it is. It's and as much as it helps me, like today they'll draw Saturday. With the morning line and stuff like that, that'll be done today. So I'll print that out. I have until sometime tomorrow to file Saturday's picks. But I haven't been taking advantage of the extra days. I look at it, but I'm not going to sit here and do a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's other races to deal with in the meantime.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like Hong Kong. We race Wednesday, and then I got time to look at Sunday's races without anything in between. Here we got a lot of races in between, so I kind of feel right now the schedule's pretty good, Steve. With Hong Kong off for 6-7 weeks, and Press running 3 days a week, and I'm doing 1 day a week at Saratoga. Yeah, I can handle that.
Nice. As long as more trees don't fall on the house.
Exactly.
Yeah, or as long as no houses fall on your sister, right? If we can pull out one of my favorite lines from Wizard of Oz. Dick, I appreciate it. We will see you next week at the big week, Whitney and Sales. The teeth of the meat is upon us.
Yes, that's funny. I know because I live on the wrap. I live the jets fly right over my house, and that is a busy week for jet traffic going into Saratoga.
Well, it's funny. It's funny you say that. As I was leaving last night, leaving Albany, which is torn up to hell. They're expanding or doing something at that airport. I don't know what. Supposedly a big multi tens of millions upgrade. There was a plane, you know, that row of private terminals, millionaire. And you know, there's a Piedmont sign on one of those buildings that for ages, I've wondered how and why Piedmont was one of my favorite airlines when I flew. I mean, Piedmont was fabulous. Piedmont and Ozark. But there was a plane, there was a private jet that had silks, that had what looked to be green silks on the door that I noticed yesterday. So mm-hmm. I couldn't really make out the other markings. It was late. It was already like 8 something. So, but I did see that it was obviously an owner that flew into Albany.
So. Well, we're getting a $40 million terminal at Saratoga.
Really?
Yes. And my first question is, why? Why do these people that fly in privately need a terminal? And it's a big project. I mean, you can't even drive up there unless you're on business.
How about that?
And Albany is $200 million, but Albany's a big expansion. When they finish it, it is going to be a major improvement because Albany's maxed out. But for a small private airport, I don't get $40 million.
How about that? And of course, Ocala. There continues to be the potential for Ocala to expand. From what I understand,
they need it.
Yeah, that's a distinct possibility with everything that's going on there as well. So, Dick, good luck today, and
I will see you
next week
at the track next Wednesday.
Or are you coming out at all the weekend? And
yeah, I'm kind of up in the air as to how, why, when, you know. But yes.
All right. So I'll probably see him.
Okay. All right, Steve.
There we go. Dick Powell, everybody. Let's take the break here. And when we come back, Sirewatch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. We'll spend first part of second half this morning to talk to Sid, catch up. I think actually I may expand off that good magic mention that Dick just referenced. And top of hour three, Brad Free. Because there's how much is it tomorrow? Is it 114,000 or 144,000? It is a nice pick six carryover at Del Mar to start the week tomorrow. So we'll do a little recapping of, I haven't done as much of the Del Mar recap as I would have liked the last couple of days, but we'll get Brad's take, the San Clemente and the wins were spread out pretty good, actually. I mean, the four stakes, D'Amato, McCarthy, Glatt, and Baltus, and Baffert had a couple of those maidens that we talked about with him on Monday, and we'll get Brad's impressions, but mostly we're going to look at races 3 through 8 because big carryover. Let's take a break here. Seth Merrill later, too. Seth and I will look at our card at Saratoga. I'm waiting for the scratches, too. And we'll be back. Second half, At the Races. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you're racing two-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts breeding program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Whether you're new to the racing game or just looking to enhance your operation, Hermitage Farm and Goshen can help you. We are conveniently located between Churchill Downs and Keeneland Racecourse and near world-renowned equine hospitals. With spacious paddocks, expert staff, and qualified veterinarians, we offer full-service boarding, breeding, and sales preparation, as well as post-operative care and layup services. Visit us in person or online at hermitagefarm.com.
The PA Horse Breeders Association presents the new and improved Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Six $100,000 stakes for PA sired, PA bred Zoot Parks. Two 6-furlong contests on PA Derby Day. The two-year-olds then go 7 furlongs on December 30th. Here's the big change. The last two races are in August 2025 for three-year-olds. Then $50,000 in breeder bonuses go to the top three horses in the series. For more, go to PABred.com.
This is At the Races with Steve Beck